This is Phil Farrand. And I am driving home. I'm actually driving home today. So we are in transition. Now, Dustin is going to have his graduation tonight. So he's going to walk across the stage and get his little patch. And he will have his paramedic education done. He still needs to take his national test, but he's going to be doing that here soon at some point. He wants to take it as soon as he can possibly take it, which makes sense to me. So that's a big milestone, but it also means that now his schedule has shifted to where he's not just working all the time and going to class all the time. He's back on a regular work schedule, and so, you know, we're getting that figured out and shifted around. So, I mean, this week I had Aiden, let's see, did I have Aiden on Monday? And I think on Wednesday, and then that's it. I don't have Aiden. I didn't have Aiden today, and I'm not going to have Aiden tomorrow. And Dustin is actually going to get a three-day weekend, which he hasn't had in a long time, so he's going to go ahead and do that. Yeah, so because of that, then I could get back and have breakfast with a buddy this morning. And so I just dropped into Walmart to get Dustin a congratulations card, and I have to be at work at 9 today. It's 8:30. So I'm actually driving home from Walmart. So this is like a real driving home. So God is good. God is good. We're at this stage. And Dustin did really well. And in fact, in his exit interview, which he had on Tuesday, he said, you know, they were very complimentary, and the head of the program, he said, in essence, told me, I don't know why you're messing around with all this other stuff. You should just go be a doctor. So that's very interesting. I'm just going to let Dustin kind of mull on that for a while, but ultimately, that's probably not something that I would campaign for, because doctors are knowledge workers and the most disconnected from humans of anybody sort of in the medical stack. And because of that, I think AI is really going to camp onto that field for diagnosis and for prescriptions and for, you know, all sorts of designing of medical health things, because sorry, I've been having a little drainage for like 2 or 3 days here, and I don't know exactly what's going on. I'm trying to nail it down. So because doctors really have been pushed by the insurance companies to like have their average patient encounters be 7 minutes long. I mean, the insurance companies have really turned the screws down on doctors so that they can process more and so that they can charge more, et cetera, et cetera. It's like I was talking to my buddy this morning, you know, when you are paying $400 for a doctor to spend 15 minutes with you and tell you, yep, I've looked at your x-rays or I've looked at your MRI and that bone's broken, you need a cast. You know, if you can have an AI do that for 50 cents, I don't think there's any question how that's going to go. So I don't know that I would necessarily encourage anyone to pursue a medical doctor degree at this point, because it costs so much and you end up so much in debt. And AI is just going to take great gobs of those opportunities. I mean, it's just going to... Because insurance companies are going to be very happy to pay less to doctors. Anyway, so that's a side thing. As far as writing goes, I've wandered into starting the writing on book 24. I'm allowing other things to come in and steal away some of that time, because I technically don't have to start the next writing sprint until January the 1st. And then I have January and February to finish up book 24. And then we produce the beta copy in March. And then I'm pretty well done. Goes to the beta readers. They read it for a month, 2 months. Goes to the beta readers in April. They have April and May. And then I do the production version in June. And done and done. So there you go. And I have plenty to write. And I know where we're going. It's going to be great. So, like, I do have some questions that I need to answer from beta readers. Probably get that done this weekend. The cable on my wife's sliding door, the powered door on her van on the driver's side, got all ginked up the other day, so I have parts coming in for that. As far as costumes go, I'm in the process of printing all the parts for the Mario head at this point for Mario Day in March. So, you know, lots of little things going on. We're just puttering along. We are puttering along. Last week, I had delayed talking about the topic I wanted to talk about, which frankly was a conspiracy theory thing that maybe not is as much of a conspiracy. But I'm going to delay that for yet another week because I wanted to talk about this podcast that I watched pieces of. I didn't get to the end of it. Just like, are you kidding me? But it's a conspiracy thing as well, and I think together they really illustrate the difficulties that we have in seeking the truth of our existence and the truth of what happens around us. Joe Rogan has said a couple of times, I've heard him say it, that he used to believe that we went to the moon and landed on the moon, but after COVID, you know, he kind of questions everything, which I understand that mindset. I mean, even the topic that we're going to talk about next week is one of those things that I would have thought, oh, there's no way, you know. But then, you know, after COVID and after you see this thing that can only be described as a conspiracy of forcing people to get shots and, you know, locking people down and telling them stuff that is exactly opposite of what they need to do. You know, after a while, you just go, wow, what in the world? How many of other these things? But in terms of the moon landing, I mean, I've never thought that that was a conspiracy. I remember watching the moon landing in 69. In 69, I would have been 11, and I remember watching those black and white, you know, photos, etc., etc., etc. But this particular podcast I had watched, they actually convinced one of the astronauts who walked on the moon, because there aren't many of them alive left, and he's in his 70s now. They actually convinced him to sit across from a moon landing skeptic, you know, to have a debate about it. And I don't know exactly what happened, but at one point, the guy who walked on the moon looked at the skeptic and he said, "Wait, you don't believe we went to the moon?" And they said, well, that's what we're here to discuss. He said, what? You don't believe we went to the moon? So I don't know what happened in the pre-prep or if they told him and he had just forgotten because his memory was starting to fade. I don't know. But the skeptic, I mean, had based his life, had done books, had done films, had done, I mean, this based his whole life on the fact that we had not gone to the moon. And, you know, it was fascinating to watch the mental gymnastics that this guy had to go through. Because the first thing the host did is he said, so, you know, tell us about going to the moon. And so the guy said, well, we did this. And it's just like, yeah, and we were there, and we were there for this long, and we did this, and we did that, and we did the other, and this is what it was like. And he was answering all these questions. And when they finally got around to the skeptical part, you know, the host said, okay, first of all, you have to understand that we know now of all these things that were going on during those years, you know, the MK Ultra stuff, and, you know, probably President Kennedy actually got assassinated, you know, and it wasn't just Lee Harvey Oswald, there are other people involved, you know. And there's all these things swirling around about what the government was doing and how it was treating its citizens and all those things. And, you know, Russia was way ahead of us. And then just suddenly we leapt out in front and put a man on the moon. And, you know, it just gets hard to believe. And then we've never gone back. They kept saying, well, we've never gone back. Why haven't we gone back? Okay. We won't get to the debunking stuff just yet, but... So then after all that setup, then this guy, give us your best evidence. Well, because a guy confessed to murder on his deathbed, and he said the reason he murdered them is because it was on such Clark base or something where they actually filmed it. And this guy was there when they were filming, being on the moon. They weren't on the moon. And, you know, we've got videotape of his son saying what his dad said. It's like, oh, whoa. You know, and he's got this, that, and the other, you know, and NASA whistleblowers have sent me this stuff. And he had this clip of, you know, when NASA was talking to Neil Armstrong, and, you know, there's supposed to be a 4-second delay because they're halfway to the moon. And right before Neil Armstrong says anything, you can hear someone say, talk. And then Neil Armstrong says something, and, you know, obviously someone is telling him you've got to slow down because we have to simulate this, you know, going to the moon. And all of it's like that stuff, you know, it's all this testimony of somebody that heard somebody say something and this, that, and the other, and blah, 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 blah. And, you know, one of the things that I was thinking while I was watching this was, oh, because the host said, wait, so someone sent you this tape from NASA? Yeah, this came from NASA. And it's actually got the CIA specialist on there telling Neil Armstrong when he's supposed to talk next. And they play it, you know. And he said, you can hear, it's like somebody here on Earth because it's much more clearer. And I'm looking at this going, okay, did you ever consider that the people at NASA who sent you this might think you're an idiot? And so these supposed whistleblowers who are sending you all this information, did you ever think that maybe they just doctored a bit just to yank your chain? You couldn't imagine that someone was just feeding you misinformation just to stir up this controversy? And I know people are like, well, how is it possible that they were able to get this put together in so few years? And that's because it was a national project. And billions of dollars were spent. Billions and billions of dollars were spent. Dustin has just taken Aiden to school there, so I was waving. Billions and billions of dollars were spent. And like 400,000 people were involved in this. All the testing, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. That's how we got that accomplished. But, you know, beyond all of that, I saw a video from NVIDIA, from Jensen Wang, is that his name? Jensen something? And I was really surprised that people weren't reacting. This was in 2014. I was really surprised that people weren't reacting more favorably to this video. They did it just to demonstrate their ability to simulate environments. And it was really, really cool. So this was back, like I said, in 2014. And NVIDIA was showing how they could model down to the detail in real time things. And one of the things they did was, he said, okay, so we've got this idea of the moon landing, and there's a lot of people that can consider this, you know, faked. And they point to the photographs as the reason, showing that they were faked. And traditionally, there's a couple of photographs, one of Neil Armstrong coming down a ladder, and then Buzz Aldrin. I think the big one is Buzz Aldrin coming down the ladder. And you can see that Buzz Aldrin should be in shadow because of the way the sun is throwing a shadow on the lunar lander, and yet Buzz Aldrin appears to be illuminated. And not only that, he appears to have a, you know, well, that one. And then there's another picture from the reverse angle that shows that same shot, and Buzz Aldrin is still illuminated, but then it looks like there's a spotlight behind him. And so people have said, well, this is obviously fake. This is obviously fake because, you know, there's no way for Buzz Aldrin to get illuminated when he's behind this, the lunar lander, when the sun's on the other side of it. Okay, all right, fine. So what NVIDIA did is they took their graphics engine and they modeled everything. They modeled the reflectivity of the lunar, you know, lander. They modeled everything. And he had a picture up there that looked like the picture of Buzz Aldrin coming down the ladder, but then he just rotated it. It was actually a 3D environment, and people were less impressed than they should have been because that was really cool. But Jensen Wang, I need to find his name. You know, so Jensen Wang said that the one thing that they had modeled, that, and he shut off the effect. And when he shut off the effect of this particular modeling, you couldn't even see Buzz Aldrin. He was just black because he was completely in the shadow. But if we will remember, we actually see full moons. And the question is, what does that tell us? That tells us the moon's surface is reflective. And in fact, they look up the specifications for how reflective the moon is, and they determine that the moon has, it's unusually reflective. It reflects only about 10 to 12% of sunlight, but with a twist, when the surface is illuminated by the sun and the camera view, and the camera views it from the same angle, the reflective light becomes dramatically brighter. So this is known as opposition surge, a real optical phenomenon observed in dusty planetary surfaces. So they took their VXG1 stuff and they simulated that in that. And as soon as they did that, boom, Buzz Aldrin lights up. And you can actually see him, even though he's in shadow. And then beyond that, you know, they show this other picture where it looks like there's a floodlight on the other side when there's a reverse camera angle. It looks like there's a floodlight on the other side of Buzz Aldrin. And people are like, well, there's an obvious studio light there. See, that's what that is. Except they don't take into account that Neil Armstrong was standing over there and he's wearing a white space suit. And so then they got the reflective properties of the space suit. And they put that into the graphic generator and, you know, Jensen Huang said, so Armstrong himself becomes a giant white reflector, bouncing intense sunlight back into the scene. And then they, you know, he went into his environment because it's all real time. And he like shut that off, turned it back on, shut it back off, turned it back on. And then when he's done, he puts that up side by side with the picture and everything's there. And I remember watching that back in 2014 and thinking, yeah, okay. Okay, that all makes sense to me. You know, they can actually simulate it. But beyond all of that, you've got 2012 when the Lunar Reconnaissance Orbiter camera that NASA sent to the moon, they sent it over the Apollo 11 landing site. And the pictures all show the stuff that was left there. So it's like, well, that happened in 2012. Jensen Huang's stuff happened in 2014. This guy is still sitting on a podcast in 2025 looking at a guy who is saying, look, I walked on the moon. I walked on the moon. And he's in essence just calling him a liar and telling him that he's part of a conspiracy that's murdered all these people. Oh, man. Never once imagining that maybe someone has been feeding him a lot of stuff just to stir up controversy. And if you don't want to believe that that's something the federal government would do, i.e. the CIA and Black Ops stuff, that's fine, but we certainly have enemies in the world, the Russians and the Chinese, who run disinformation campaigns. And this guy just can't imagine that all of the quote-unquote evidence that he sees could be anything but true, even though a lot of it's like hearsay, and it's like, well, and look at all the Apollo 11 people, look at all the astronauts who have died mysterious deaths, you know, and there's all this, there's just smoke screen of all this stuff. We're just like, yeah, you know, I don't think so. I will say it as I have said before. I think the most potent defense we have against all of this is simply recognizing that if we're listening to stuff that is taking us away from love, joy, peace, patience, gentleness, faithfulness, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, gentleness, faithfulness, self-control. Oh, man, I am not good this morning. Fruit of the Spirit. I got to go to work here in just a few minutes, too, and I'm kind of concerned about that because I got to get this done in 8 minutes, which shouldn't be a problem. I think the fruit of the Spirit are the thing that watch over us and help us. And if anything we're hearing is taking us out from underneath that, then we really need to back up, you know, and we just need to rely on Christ and stay in Him. I'm a little discombobulated this morning with this sinus drainage that I'm having. I apologize for that. But having said all that, next week we are going to talk about a conspiracy theory that I really hope is not true. I just, oh, if it's true, but, oh. And I don't know fully where I stand with the topic for next week, but we'll do a topic on it and just see. This is Phil Ferrand, and I have made it home.